You're listening to Rowan Radio On Demand. Download more podcasts at rowanradio.com.
The following program does not represent the views or opinions of the staff or administration of Rowan University or Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS-FM.
Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS-FM, proudly presents Studio 89.7. This talk program focuses on newsmakers, celebrities, and authors. And now, here's your host, Philadelphia radio veteran, Paul Perrello.
We are talking with the very talented, and I do say very talented, very funny, Amy Sedaris, who joins us here. She's here to talk about her great book. And I have to say, this, and kiddingly, we talked before with Amy, this sort of got me through what was a very... contentious morning, if you will. I like you.
But I love that the back of the book, like that's what they told. They probably thought you were just a weirdo.
You know, like yeah, you know what? Come to think of it, I was, you know, actually I was holding it down, on the steering wheel. But yeah, you know, come to think of it, the back cover, yeah, they could have called the Cherry Hill Police and we wouldn't be doing the interview today, right?
Right.
Amy, thanks for spending some time with us. What made you come up with this idea for this book?
Well, I'm entertain a lot and I cook a lot and I just always wanted to do a cookbook, something that I could give the rest of my family, you know, with my mom's recipes in it. And I'm a very visual person, more so than a writer. So I just wanted to do an art book and then get all my friends in my apartment and make a bunch of crafts and food and shoot the whole thing. And I just wanted a craft to do for 2 years. That's it.
This was a labor of love, I'm sure.
Yes, my gosh, yeah.
The funny thing is that many people will pick up this book and they'll think that it's a spoof of a real book. But, I mean, the stuff that's in here is real. I mean,
real information.
That's
yes,
right.
It is.
Real information, real recipes, yes. Real crafts. Many of which, all of which you've done yourself?
Yes. And then, you know, I borrowed recipes from some friends. And then, like I said, my mom. And I've made them all. There's humor in the book, but the information is real. The recipes are real. I just needed to make it entertaining.
Yeah. Again, the name of the book is I Like You by Amy Sedaris. And she joins us here in Philadelphia. And there are some tips. There's some. There's a lot of great advice that you have in the book. Some of it is sort of funny. And some of it, while it's funny, is sort of poignant. It's real. I mean, for instance, it's always a good idea to stock your neighbor's apartment with the basics: alcohol, ice, corn chips. Because you know, when you're having a party, there's nothing worse than running out of corn chips or even ice. So if you stock your neighbor's apartment as well as yours, then you know you have somewhere to run.
Exactly. Or also, and it's true, I know more people with dead animals in their freezer, and I'm always like, why didn't you take them out? Why? What is that? They're like, oh, you know, rabbits. I'm waiting for spring so I can bury it. Or my sister has birds and squirrels, and I'm like, geez, you know, if you're entertaining, get it out of the freezer.
And of course, if you're having a party, not only should you get rid of the dead animals in the freezer, but there's always those nosy party goers.
Oh, and right, so the medicine chest.
You have I never thought of this, but years ago when I was much younger, I recall being at a friend's house, and one of our female friends turned around and said that they thought that someone was going upstairs to the bathroom and using her expensive perfume. I was like, well, how do you know that? I was like, because it's in the medicine cabinet. I keep it in the medicine cabinet. And this was years ago when, you know, we didn't know where you're supposed to keep, you know, the expensive cologne or perfume or anything like that. Probably doctors today would tell you that, you know, not doctors, but, you know, perfumologists would say, you know, that the humidity in the bathroom would probably, I don't know where I'm going with this, but probably be detrimental to the scent. Well, anyway, so how do you know that? And she said, because the medicine cabinet door was open. So,
Snoop!
Amy has come up with an idea to sort of prevent people from snooping around in the medicine cabinet.
Yes, you can fill them with marbles or pennies. And so when they open the medicine chest, it'll hit the porcelain sink. And you know immediately. It's such a great trick.
What's the reaction when you hear that? You know, you're
downstairs. I laugh, because I know who's going to do it.
You know.
Yeah, I would do it. I would go into some. I mean, I'm not going to take anything, but I want to know. I mean, I'm very curious. You can tell a lot about a person by opening their medicine chest.
Mm-hmm. pre-crack all your liquor bottles.
Yes, I learned that growing up in the South. You know, you just pre-crack it because no one wants to feel like the first ones diving in. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So, yeah, it's just kind to do that.
and I guess, you know, I would have thought when I first read that tip that so this way no one can, you know, sort of like switch the bottles and say that they brought you a new bottle they were actually bringing a bottle that they had opened from before.
Oh, I never thought of that. That's good.
It must be the...
We're your friends.
South Philly mentality. Yeah, I guess that's what it is. Yeah.
You didn't bring that to you, Maria.
Have plenty of toilet paper.
Yeah, you don't want to run out of toilet paper.
No, that could be embarrassing.
Yeah, I think so. Right? Stock up, yeah.
The book is now available in bookstores, and it's very timely, too, because, you know, people will, A, want to give this as a great holiday gift, but, of course, the cover of the book has you holding a very large turkey. Not sure if it's a real turkey.
It's fake. I have a lot of fake food in my apartment.
You
but
do.
Old, the old kind, like old plaster, or like that's an old rubber one that they don't make anymore. And yeah, I collect a lot of fake foods.
You do.
And then there's a secret poster on the inside of the book. Like if you take the cover off, it's a secret poster for your rec room or kitchen area. And I put whipped cream and Jimmy's all over myself. I smelled like feta cheese for 4 days.
I didn't
days.
Know that.
Yeah, secret poster. Yeah.
Wow. Now, see, I would have really been in trouble in Cherry Hill.
A centerfold.
If the cover would have come off, and I would have, oh, my goodness, I could just see being in the lockup at the Cherry Hill Township Police Department right now. Yeah. Hey, guys, it is a great secret poster.
Yeah.
So, you know what? Go out and get the book for your girlfriend, your lady friend, your wife. But tell her that you want the poster.
Yeah, right. I'll do the cover off.
And how many Jimmies did they count? How many Jimmies?
I have a huge, gigantic cherry jar full of cherries. I had them in my apartment. Uh-huh. You know, it was just, you know, gigantic jar of Jimmies. So I just had everybody throw them on me. But I should have used whipped cream.
Right.
You know, that's like, I was inspired by is it Herb Albert? What's his name? The Ice Cream and Other Delights.
Sure,
that,
yeah.
Says
yep.
Yeah, so that cover. So that, I thought, I want to do that kind of cover. But they used whipped cream. No, they use shaving cream. I use whipped cream.
Right. I want to go back to the whole fake food thing. So do you display the fake food?
Yes. And with that turkey, sometimes I'll put a piece of tin foil over it since people will assume that it just came out of the oven. That's a really good trick.
Have you ever had anybody decide to put knife and fork to the fake turkey?
No, I've had not. They weren't going to dive into it, but they definitely thought it was real. And I was like, no, that's not real. And I have some steaks and chicken, a Cornish hen. But it's nice. It's not like, I don't like it when people give me fake food because it's never right. It's
right.
Like I have to find it. I'm really picky about it.
When did you realize that you had this uncanny ability, to be funny, to be creative, to sort of come up with like the whole fake food genre, if you will?
I guess I don't think of it as being weird or funny, you know what I mean? It's just I've always surrounded myself with things that I like, and I've always been a crafty person, and everyone in my family has a good sense of humor. But I think that's what it, you know, you just kind of do it, you know, you just, without thinking that it's weird or funny. Does that make sense? Like
sure.
The book, I didn't mean for it to be funny. I mean, it is real information, and then people will say, it's hilarious. I'm like, I didn't mean for it to be that funny. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But some of it is, I guess.
But you are a funny person.
I like funny things. I like to see what's funny about things. So I guess that would make me a funny person. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I can be really serious and boring too. So it's like, you know. But the book's good because I think like it's good for like illiterate people. You don't have to read to enjoy it, seriously. Or for children, because I remember going through my mom's cookbooks. I remember all the illustrations and all the pictures. And so I wanted to do a book that just didn't leave anybody out.
Mm-hmm. And some of the fashion styles that you mm-hmm. we could see you with a nightgown on with party balloons, and then a very serious Amy with a lovely yellow evening chiffon dress, her hair all up in whatever they call that, curls. And then on the opposite page, there are some delicious chocolate chip cookies.
Right, that look like lumps.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, I didn't even mean to take that picture. I was making those cookies for somebody else.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, let's get a picture of these. Look how bad they look.
But they look delicious.
I know, and all my pots and pans are that dirty. So I wanted everything to be very realistic.
Uh-huh.
You know, so, because cookbooks nowadays, everything is just so airbrushed and so on, you know, it just doesn't look real to me. So, and it's a lot of, you know, artwork. I had everything hand lettered.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a work for hire contract, and I hired a bunch of friends and paid them. So I got to art direct the whole project. So it was like directing a movie.
Is this like, this is your first book? Is this your first?
Yes.
So, as we said at the outset, it was a labor of love. I mean, can you see yourself doing, you know, another book and maybe, you know, just all, and maybe taking a chapter out of this and just doing like a holiday book where, you know, you could make, you know, fuzzy little Santa figures for Christmas.
I don't know. It's funny, there aren't any holidays in my book, and I didn't do that on purpose either. I just came up with a list of chapters, like situations that would be challenging for me, and I left all the holidays off. I probably wouldn't want to do a holiday book because there's so many. I was thinking if I ever did another book, it would be for boys because I don't know anything about boys. And I thought that'd be a fun thing to, like 10-year-old boys, you know, wood projects, things that boys like to do.
So, like, sort of like the old popsicle stick fort.
Stuff like that. I think it would just be a fun thing to do. Maybe a thin book. You know what I mean? Still have a secret poster.
I'm sure there'd be many 10-year-old boys that would die for a secret poster. I Like You by Amy Sedaris. Hospitality under the influence. What do you mean by hospitality under the influence?
Well, that I meant under the influence of, like, I was under the influence of Betty Crocker visually and, you know, Fanny Farmer and just friends of my mother's, you know, my family. So, but most people think I mean drugs and alcohol. But I do have a chapter in drugs and alcohol, but that's more about how annoying it is to entertain people who are messed up.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pain, you know, when they're drunk or they're doing drugs and, you know, you've gone through, you know, you've done all this work to entertain and then they just, you know, can ruin your party.
How much entertaining that you do you do given the fact that live in New York, popular star of television, screen, now books? I mean, so you must have a party every night.
I do a lot. Lately, when my brother lived in New York, I did a lot of larger parties. You know, I would rent the big tables and we would have really interesting people over. But since he moved to France, now I do more like last minute get-togethers. You know, I'll just call people the night before, the day of, and say, you want to come over tonight? And, you know, so it's more last minute now. And I never do theme parties or gimmicks. I just like to get a nice group of people together who enjoy eating and drinking and, you know, it's really simple.
Do you have a favorite recipe that you like to make?
Oh, chicken in the taverns is my favorite recipe in the book. It's mm-hmm. chicken and spaghetti. It's really good. And then all the Greek recipes are fantastic, mm-hmm. I think.
Why is it that, you know, Greeks and Italians love to eat so much?
I know. They love everything. They just like, have a zest for life. Uh-huh. I love that. You know, it's hard to entertain people who just know I had a, you know, they don't want to eat anything or they're on a juice diet or something. You're like, oh, that's not any fun. I like to cook for, you know, guys are fun to cook for because they'll eat and you can send them with leftovers and, you know, they're always really fun to entertain.
How do you know once you have a very successful dinner party and, you know, a very successful party that, how do the guest know that it's time to go? I mean, you as the hostess probably figured that it was probably an hour ago that they needed to leave.
Exactly.
But, you know, you know, do you put it like, you know, the egg timer on the counter and say, okay, you know, when it beeps, it's time.
I have done that before.
You have?
Yeah. I even go to people's houses with my timer and say, I can only stay 45 minutes. And I set it so you don't have to think about the time. And then when it goes off, you're like, oh, it's time to go. Usually, you know, the people who don't know when to leave, they're probably, you know, used to having to be told, you know, it's time to go. So I never feel bad saying, okay, you have to leave now mm-hmm. because you should know better.
Mm.
And so I always figure that's their pattern in life. So I can talk to them that way.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah.
The name of the book, again, is I Like You by Amy Sedaris. Hospitality Under the Influence. The book is in bookstores right now.
Is it?
Yeah.
I know it comes out the 16th. I didn't know that it was in stores yet.
Yeah,
that's exciting.
I actually think that I was at the mall, not in Jersey last week, mm-hmm. but here in Pennsylvania. And I do, or maybe it could have even been a poster sort of publicizing the fact that the book was going to be coming out. It's very funny. It's very humorous, but it's got real stuff in it. It's got real recipes, real crafts, real stories.
And it's good for the guest. I think I wanted, because not everybody likes to entertain and they don't have the space, like you said, like living in New York. So it's good for the guest, you know, what to do when you go to someone else's apartment. That's really important. Or they'll realize what it takes to put dinner on the table.
Mm.
Some people who don't, they have no clue.
Yeah.
You know?
When you say that this is a labor of love, I mean, and many of the anecdotes and the recipes and the crafts that are in here, you probably have been gathering now for a number of years. I mean, But when you got to put it in book form like mm-hmm. this, I mean, you know, is it a 1 year process? Is it a 2 year process?
It took me a year and a half, and that was ambitious. But mm-hmm. I was done. You know, I had 1 week left before I turned it in, and I was done a week. You know, so I gave up on the last lap. Mm-hmm. But all the props and stuff in there, I already had in my apartment. I didn't go out and buy a bunch of stuff to put in the pictures. I had it all, and mm-hmm. And then you know, I would get a group together. We'd make a few crafts, and then hire two friends who I thought took really good pictures, and we did it in the middle of the summer. That's why a lot of the food's melting. You know what I mean? And then I started covering dishes with tin foil, saying, chicken pot pie, just because I was like, I can't make a chicken pot pie. It's 100 degrees outside right now.
But you make it look so appetizing.
Didn't it look fantastic? Yeah.
I know. These are brownies, right?
Yes, yeah, brownies. Those are my brownies. That's my Aunt Joyce's recipe. I promised her before she died I'd never give the recipe out. It's in a book.
And then we have pineapple upside. See, I'm a sweets type of guy. I love
it. Oh, you are? Oh, that's the caviar hole chapter. Yeah.
Lots of pineapple sweets. Upside down cake. So I mean,
do you ever cook? Do you like to cook, or does your wife cook?
I do. I mean, you know, coming from an Italian family, it's hard not to cook.
Okay.
And you can see my size. And there's never a meal that's been
not here to
put
judge.
In front of me. Uh-huh. You know, not a meal that's been put in front of me that I've ever turned my nose up to. But fact of the matter is, love to cook. Mm-hmm. Sometimes don't have the time because who's running here? Who's running there? Who's got piano lesson? Who's got this? Who's got that? So one of the things here is that you sort of make it easy for people, whether you're planning a party or you're looking to do something really fast. Mm-hmm. Obviously, sometimes you can make brownies really fast. Pineapple upside down cake, not always that fast.
Right, right.
But you've made it in such a way that you could thumb through it and find something.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have time, you can take your time with the recipes. Or if you're looking to make something, you can, everything's pretty much there for you, and you can decide how much time you have or don't have to put it together.
Yeah, I have a little section there, 15-minute meals in 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. That's something that's usually pan frying a steak, you know, boiling a potato. I mean, it's really, I cook for myself just about every night, and that's usually what it is, something very simple like that.
Are 15-minute meals, though, really 15 minutes? I mean, you said 20 minutes.
In 20 minutes.
Thinking, yeah, 20 minutes.
For 20 minutes.
We made, my wife will probably hate me saying this, but we bought a bag of frozen vegetables,
mm-hmm.
and they were delicious, but we had to microwave them for like 15 minutes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I don't
want to mention the brand or everything, but mm-hmm. you know, it was like, my wife was like, well, why didn't we just get fresh vegetables and just...
Yeah, 15 minutes seems like a long time.
In the microwave, yeah.
Yeah. I've never, I don't have a microwave, and I've never
you
really...
You don't?
No. And I'm always confused, like when people, you know, what containers go in a microwave. It's just too confusing to me.
Don't put aluminum in a microwave.
Yeah, but then once there's a rule, then I'll do it. And so I'm like, I just don't use them at all. Hey, I just got rid of my rotary phone, so I'm one of those people. During a blackout, they come to my house because I still have the hard line, you know?
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm one of those people.
But you're a young girl. You know, you're hip. You're really not.
Yeah.
Come on.
I'm not a hip person at all. People just, you know, put that on me. They project. I'm not really that hip. I'm an old lady.
Just got rid of the rotary phone.
Yes.
You know, there's a thing out there called the internet.
No, I knew. I am good. My brother David has a computer, and he's never even been on, you know, Google.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm way ahead of him. Yeah, I'm definitely... know more about the computer since I worked on that book.
Yeah. Much of the settings here. So you're saying that, like, when you go into, and I'm looking at,
that's grieving.
Yeah.
See, in the South, when someone dies and they, you know, people contribute food, you know, they bring food, it's good to put your name on the dish, because when you're the grieving person, the last thing you want to think about was, oh, who brought over this casserole dish? So if you put your name on it, then, you know, I'll say, okay, that goes to Mrs. Steigerwald, you know? So that's something I learned in the South.
But one thing that I like here, besides the aluminum pans, is that today, at least I know in our household, we're starting to use plastic.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And, you know, so because the feeling is that whether it's for Thanksgiving dinner and somebody's bringing something over, but if it's a plastic bowl that you buy at the dollar store, if you don't get it back, who cares?
Yeah, exactly. That's,
you know,
good, yeah.
But, you know, this is a good idea because, you know, I see all these dishes here and everybody's name is on the dish. So this way you know who gets the dish back, at, you know, once you're done with all the leftovers and stuff.
Right.
When I'm looking at this picture here about grieving, I mean, how do you orchestrate a picture like this? Because you have all these artifacts obviously hanging on the wall behind here, and they look like medals and pins and
things. I got that off eBay. It's some lady who collected, she liked owls, and I just thought that would be a really funny thing to put on the wall. These they're all owl pins.
Okay, and then there's this picture of
yeah,
this
my
guy
brother,
with...
Yeah, it's a funny pic. My brother gave me, David gave me that like 12 years ago, and I just always loved it.
Not a family member, I'm
No, no, he's so weird. It's a man with a wig on.
Yeah, it's sort of like a cross between Bruce Valange and Rip Taylor.
Yeah,
know?
And the, and well, not Captain Crunch. Who's the guy?
Oh, Captain Kangaroo.
Yeah, Captain Kangaroo. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's a very strange picture.
But and how do you decide that that's what you want in your picture?
I just, I don't know.
Was he
I
the,
just,
the deceased
Yeah, he's
person?
The one who died. Yeah, yeah, so you see his picture later on mm-hmm. somewhere in another photograph. It was very, you know, like, oh, I've got this idea. Because I knew my what was in my apartment, so it was like a big prop house. So I would just, it would just come to me.
Yeah.
Like that picture of the Greek beans. God, I was like, what do I have that's Greek? I have Greek sandals and an old Greek book and pistachios. So I thought, all right, I'll put that in the picture.
The name of the book, again, is I Like You by Amy Sedaris. Hospitality Under the Influence. This picture of
yeah,
this
my
guy
brother,
with...
Yeah, it's a funny pic. My brother gave me, David gave me that like 12 years ago, and I just always loved it.
Not a family member, I'm
No, no, he's so weird. It's a man with a wig on.
Yeah, it's sort of like a cross between Bruce Valange and Rip Taylor.
Yeah,
know?
And the, and well, not Captain Crunch. Who's the guy?
Oh, Captain Kangaroo.
Yeah, Captain Kangaroo. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's a very strange picture.
But and how do you decide that that's what you want in your picture?
I just, I don't know.
Was he
just,
the deceased
Yeah, he's
person?
The one who died. You know, yeah. So you see his picture later on mm-hmm. somewhere in another photograph. It was very, you know, like, oh, I've got this idea. Because I knew my what was in my apartment, so it was like a big prop house. So I would just it would just come to me. Like that picture of the Greek beans. God, I was like, what do I have that's Greek? I have Greek sandals and an old Greek book and pistachios. So I thought, all right, I'll put that in the picture.
And you know what's amazing is that they will spend probably weeks and months when they do a big cookbook deciding what's going to go into
can
the
you
picture.
Imagine
and
that.
So what you're saying is you just decided you're going to make Greek beans and what do I have around the house that I can throw? And it looks better than some of these artsy type pictures that you see in cookbooks.
I agree. I mean, cookbooks nowadays, it's just not believable to me. But, you know, I also like each picture to tell a little story. So you get a sense of, oh, who is that person? Mm-hmm. You know, I just, again, so if you're illiterate or your child, you can kind of put the story together yourself. You don't have to read the book.
Mm-hmm. Was this fun to do?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun to do. I mean, I never really understood the word deadline, you know, because mm-hmm. I've always collaborated with other people. And so it was weird. Like I said, it was like directing a movie. It was all on my shoulders. And trying to orchestrate everything and contracts and who was going to work when. And so it was, I mean, I learned so much.
If given the opportunity to do it again, and I know we talked about, you know, you intentionally left holidays out of here, but if you had to do it again and the publishers came to you and said, Amy, this was such a ride, it was such a great seller, we want you to do something again, would you do it?
I would probably secretly start working on it without the pressure of having to do it. And then when they did come to me and they said that to me, I'd be like, oh, here it is. I already have it. But it took me out of circulation, you know, like performing. I didn't do a lot of TV or movies or anything when I was working on it. And so I kind of like doing a bunch of little things. That's like having a baby or something. You know what I mean? It was just, I like to do a bunch of little things. I would, you know, a year and a half's a long time.
Yeah. How do you handle out-of-town guests, you know, whether they're invited or uninvited?
Well, luckily, I live in the city, so a lot of people know they just don't stay with you because there just isn't space. But mm-hmm. my family, they always stay with me. And so, especially my little brother, whenever he leaves, there's always change and packing peanuts on the floor. You know what I mean? It's like, God. So, out-of-town guests, yeah, that's a tough one. Do you get a lot of people that come to visit you, and do they stay with you?
Usually around the holidays.
Oh.
Yeah.
And isn't it tough?
It is, because your lifestyle is sort of like turned upside down, because all of a sudden there are these...
people in your bathroom.
Yeah. You know,
yeah.
And, you know, and they're going into the medicine cabinet.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you hear the marbles hit the porcelain.
Raccoons! Yeah, I know.
There is a lovely picture in here also of a cold cut tower.
Isn't that fantastic?
Yes.
Yes. Someone went to a wedding one. They went to Germany and they brought me back a photograph of it. It was like a meat cake. It was like one level, and I always thought that was the funniest thing. So we just took it one step further
and
just made like a wedding
cake. It's salami and ham.
Yeah.
And
my refrigerator reeked. Yeah.
I was going to say, when you're doing something like that, and you don't have a lot of space to begin with, but then all of a sudden you got to make sure that everything is fresh.
Yes.
So where do you put the cold?
I just bought it that day.
That
it's like
day.
We're going to do the cold cut cake, get the cold cuts here in the morning, refrigerate it till we have to build it. Yeah.
A while ago, I remember there was a special on television about how they do commercials and how they do photo layouts, and that the milk in the cereal bowl is not really milk, but it's like white paint or something.
Yeah.
So any tricks that you could share with us to make this stuff look so real?
No, actually, there's some southern green beans in there, too. And I overcook them on purpose to capture that green, you know, when they, mm-hmm. they cook them for like 3 hours. But no, a couple things we spray with Pam, that spray on oil, so it would look nice. But I wanted to just do it like very realistic. I wanted everything to look real.
So no makeup. You didn't call the makeup artist and say, you know, we need to powder the, you know, the
powder. No, but I had two people who are experienced with doing that with food. One guy took the pictures, Mark Eyebald. He is a food stylist, but still, we didn't do anything fancy like that. Mm-hmm. Like that, right? That was a hot day. I just covered it, just like it's pot roast, but I just had to cover it. I just couldn't make a pot roast that day.
Now, my favorite's in here, pumpkin pie.
Yeah, well, I follow the back of the can, and that's my recipe. I mean, I do, but that's how I decorate it.
Yeah. Now, you take the pie crust, and you cut out the little bats and the cat?
Well, I had the cookie cutters. And then that curtain is from my growing up in North Carolina. We grew up with those curtains downstairs in my dad's office. So there's something personal in every item, in every photograph as well.
But how big is your apartment that if you have, like, all this stuff?
I know. I'm like a friggin' squirrel. It's just storage. It just drives me crazy. I finally got a storage unit after the book.
You did.
So I put some stuff away.
What has the reaction been to the book as you go out and meet people who know you from movies and television, and so they're sort of intrigued now to, you know, to pick up the book, and they see all this zany, wacky, crazy, but yet great stuff in the book. Mm-hmm. What's the reaction?
Well, not everyone's seen it yet, mostly press people. So usually it's like, why a cookbook? Like, they didn't think that this doesn't seem like, you know, like, that's not very Jerry Blank. It's not, you know, like anything I've done before. And I'm like, yeah, but if you know me, it's very, you know, this is exactly who I am. I entertain, it's so, it's just a part of me that they just didn't know that was in there, I guess.
And what about your family and friends' reaction? Because much of your family is in the book.
Yeah, very.
Recipes and, you know, artifacts from, you know, from your growing up and, you know, family and everything. So what is the reaction from your family and friends?
My older sister seen it. She loved it. She was just went berserk. And then David flipped through it, and he liked it a lot. And then my father was more like, you know, coming across certain recipes, like, who the hell's going to soak their beans for an hour overnight, you know? I mean, it's like, Dad, that's the way I make it. He was critiquing it, so that was really funny. But no one else has a copy yet. I'm waiting to get copies myself.
Mm-hmm. Much of the attention on this book comes right on the heels of your movie, Strangers with Candy.
Right.
So that's got to really help in sort of, you know, having this synergistic relationship between the movie and the book, mm-hmm. and helping to sell and promote the book.
I know, which is interesting, because I never have anything to sell or promote, which is so funny to me. And now here I have two things, like the movie and now the book, and then the DVD comes out in November. So it's just a different world to me right now, having to go out and promote things. So, I mean, I enjoy it, but it's just, I'm not used to it.
Mm-hmm. Now that the book is behind you and you're out promoting the book, are we going to see you acting again soon?
Well, my goal is to do a TV show based on the book. Because originally I wanted to do a TV show, a hospitality show. And then I thought, you know, let me write the book first and see what I can get out of it for the TV show. So I would like to do a little hospitality show.
For, let's say, the Food Network, where you would think that this would be a fit, but then you would wonder if some people at the Food Network are saying, too zany for us.
Exactly. I would rather just be like a local station. You know, something that would just like when growing up, those, mm-hmm. you know, there were always those creepy shows on those local stations. So I would just like to do something kind of small where you have to discover it. So I'm not like pushing it in your face, you know, so I don't really know. I wouldn't want it on a comedy station any more than I'd want it on a dramatic station. Hmm. So I don't know.
Well, I think you're onto something here because it's a very well done book.
Thank you so much.
And I think it does make a logical entree into a television program. And,
I like that entree. I like how you worded that. That's really good. I'm going to steal it. You're going to hear me say it now. Sedera says.
I'll just have my lawyer send you a cease and desist order. That's all. No, only kidding. Amongst friends, you know, I'm sure, you know, she'll have me on as a, you know, sort of like the guest announcer or whatever.
Yeah.
You know,
the butcher.
The butcher. That's it. I'll put the apron on. And, you know, I'll even put like the straw hat on, like, you know, Sam the Butterman or whatever.
Yeah,
You know, I think you're on to something
Butter
here,
Amy. Man.
Sam the Butterman.
I like having a Butterman.
We'll do lamb butter. Did you ever see at Easter time they have like the lamb
cakes?
Yeah,
I've never made one.
No,
and they're in coconut.
Yeah. See,
Hey, check. New ideas.
It's been a pleasure speaking with the very talented Amy Sedaris. And again, the name of the book, coming to bookstores even as we speak, I Like You, Hospitality Under the Influence. It's a very funny book. It's an informative book. You will enjoy it. And guys, make sure you take the cover off, because if you look inside the book, it's full of, it's action-packed, but take off the cover. You'll be glad that you did. I could just see the back covers now. You know, I could see, you know, wives and girlfriends and girlfriends.
Oh, yeah.
You know, say,
defacing it.
You know, honey, where's the cover of?
Where is the cover of my, exactly.
it's great. And I'm so glad that we really had this chance to talk.
Me too. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Amy.
You've been listening to Studio 89.7, a monthly program that focuses on newsmakers, celebrities, and authors. Please tune in on the second Saturday of every month at 9 a.m. for another edition of Studio 89.7, only on Rowan Radio 89.7 WGLS FM.